to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Grant EM Radio.
And we are live on a special Thursday afternoon here on Rant EM Radio. Thursday, January 17th, 2019, episode 588 of The Rant is officially live across the airwaves of Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media at rantemradio.com. Tune in Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, you know the drill. We're back, folks, and we're live. And we'll talk about everything here in just a moment. Thank you to everybody who's tuning in and listening to us on this special afternoon edition of The Rant, lunchtime edition, as many are calling it. People are enjoying their tuna sandwiches and submarine sandwiches and burgers and things like that. I mean, apparently a lot of people are enjoying burgers these days. We'll talk about that in a second. Double A, as always, being joined by Tony C.
Hey, yo.
And we're also being joined by Dr. Doom himself.
What's going on?
I don't know if we're going to be able to take calls, but the lines are open. 954-889-7268. Double A, The Rant, all one word on Skype. Your best bet is to call us on Skype. To Skype us, because I know I can add you in that one.
Sound like somebody doing yard work.
He's having some yard bird outside. Now let's see here. Now I'm going to tune into the feed here to see if we can hear everybody. Okay, so we can hear Doom nice and clear. Anyways, I thought I had the drops working. I tested everything, and if anybody was listening the last 30 minutes, I'd been on the air testing the drops and testing them through Skype and everything sound fine, but now they don't work now for some reason. Let me see. I'm going to play one drop. Let's see if you guys can hear it.
God damn.
No? Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing.
The wall game.
Nothing. 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 All right, well, I guess we don't have drops. All right, none of these drops are working. Oh, well. All right, they probably are coming out on the feed, but oh, well. Anyways, it has been exactly 1 month since this program has been on the air. The last time we came to you was on December the 18th. A lot has happened in these last 30 days. And we'll be talking about that here shortly. But, you know, as always, I like to go around the room and see what's going on in everybody's personal lives. We say hello to anybody that's in the chat room. I see the Impact player, Mr. Philip J. Ray, is in the chat room. He says it's G. I don't believe him. And I'll talk about my meeting with him in just a minute. But, Tony C., we'll start with you. How was, you and I, we kept in touch, pretty much, kind of, during this absence. But what's been going on with you, and how was your holidays, and everything leading up to pretty much today?
Been taking it easy, man. The holiday was okay. You know, spent some time with the fam. Came and went. Got some Christmas gifts, you know. Things of that nature. Nothing too exquisite, you know. And just been taking it easy, you know. Catching up on a lot of old school television, you know, stuff like that. You know. Thank you to Amazon Prime for having A Different World on Amazon Prime, all 6 seasons, by the way.
I know that Tony C. laid into Lee the other day for interrupting him during his binging of A Different World.
That's right. When you interrupt my Walter Oates marathon, I get kind of feisty. And they got growing pains on them, so I'm gonna get a growing pains marathon.
I gotta see what's on Prime, because I gotta see if there's anything in there that would interest me, you know?
I think he's gonna find a lot, you know, you might find a thing or two about a thing or two. Also, over the break, I found them damn Eric Bischoff 83 Weeks podcast.
Oh, God.
Started listening to some of those. I know Double A hate Conrad Thompson.
I can't tolerate Conrad that much anymore.
He's mooched his way into the hierarchy of wrestling.
I mean, that's exactly right. That's exactly verbatim what Doom just said. He leached himself into the wrestling world, you know, and now he's on all these podcasts hosting 3 shows a week. He's got that damn mortgage company, which, you know, he hawks all over those podcasts. And he may marry the Flair.
Married into the family, like Triple H.
So, you know, he really is a mooch. And I don't have nice things to say about Conrad. Now, as for the shows, you know, I need to go back and listen to a couple of them because there are a couple that have caught my attention, specifically the ones regarding Gene Okerlund, and we'll talk about Gene Okerlund in just a second. But
I got a question. Is he going to ever address why he booked Benoit to be with Nancy Sullivan?
Who knows?
Are they going to address that?
Who knows?
Who knows? I know they addressed the Goldberg, Starcade, Finger Poker Doom.
Yeah, because the 20th Halloween anniversary of that just recently passed.
Yep. Halloween Havoc 95, Starcade 94. I mean, it's some good ones on there, Bischoff. And he made me really, really have, like, Dave Meltzer back in the day really didn't have a lot of nice things to say about WCW.
Well, Dave Meltzer doesn't have a lot of things nice things to say in general.
Yeah, they have enough Japan wrestlers up there. That's why.
Some of the stuff was bad. Like, okay, you know, you talk about the Flaming Poker Doom. You know why they did it. You know, Meltzer shit all on it. Shit it all on the Giant, you know, the Hogan match. Like, he was taking stuff way too seriously.
But wait a minute.
He exposes the business. That's one of the things I can't stand about him, that he exposes the business, and then on top of that, criticizes it.
Yeah.
Like it's not predetermined already.
Didn't they do the Finger Poker Doom? Didn't DX do it before WCW do it?
Yes, they did.
It wasn't the Finger Poker Doom, but yeah. But the excuse people used with that, it was the European title.
And Sean had two titles at that time.
But it's still the same concept, though.
Not really. It is, but it isn't.
People don't like it when you play with the world title.
Exactly. That's why people still are bitter about what happened with David Arquette.
Yep. But I understood what Bischoff was trying to do. They should have went about it, especially the way Nash, you know, one of his biggest things was the way Nash was act like he had just got shot by Ricky off Boys in the Hood on the Punk. I mean, they could have went at another angle. But then again, what they were trying to do was bring everybody back to relevance. But you know, he said that he admitted the Counterpart was bad at Starcade 98, but he was like, how else was you going to beat Goldberg?
I don't have an issue with the Cattle Prod.
There was no other way.
I don't have an issue with the Cattle Prod. I have an issue what eventually led to the ultimate outcome of the storyline, and that was Hogan getting the title back. That I didn't like. They could have done the Cattle Prod and just had an ongoing, like, you know, Kevin Nash facing Goldberg again, putting the title on the line, and I don't know, the match ending in a disqualification or something, you know? But
his defense his defense to it all was they wanted to bring the NWO back together and, to end up with Hogan Goldberg again. But of course, that never happened. Goldberg got hurt.
Yeah.
But, and what he was saying, in theory, made sense, but it was just the way he went about it. He was like, yeah, I would have did it totally different, you know, with the cattle prod. And then he was, he go in depth on the, like, how he wasn't, like, big on the finishes. Like, he wasn't, like, the guy that talked about the finishes. It was more Terry Taylor and Sullivan and more people.
It's easy to blame Terry Taylor.
No, I ain't saying he blaming him.
I blame him. Can anybody tell me one good thing that Terry Taylor did whenever he was a booker, in any of the time he was booking wrestling? Because he booked for both WCW and the WWE. Okay? So, I mean, can't think of a time, to be honest with you.
But the thing about the podcast, I mean, it's entertaining to hear Bischoff, you know, talk. The thing that caught my ear, another key thing, and I did some research on this. There was a time when Ernest the Cat Miller was supposed to be Hollywood Hogan for WCW title, and it never came to fruition, but they talked about it.
You know,
Ernest
that
Miller was over.
That sounds...
Because the cat was over.
I guess.
That much.
I guess that's why he did such a good job in the WWE, right?
I don't know. Well, they said that's why they made him commissioner instead of doing that angle. Because he was such a good character. Well, Ernest the Cat... But wouldn't that have been something to see Ernest the Cat Miller even, you know, for a week or two
as WCW champion?
I have no clue.
I would
have loved that.
Him and Sonny Ono? I don't know.
Did they explain why they made Frontside K, the artist formerly known as Frontside K, or they ain't got
that's
that
that's probably Russo.
Yeah, that was Russo that did that. Because, you know, Bischoff left for a minute and came back in 99.
He left in 99, came back in 2000. Yeah.
They talked about why they gave the Goldberg Hogan match away on free TV, which I found was
because of Hogan.
He wanted to give Goldberg the rub. Yeah, he wanted to give Goldberg the rub, and it wasn't going to be a rematch. There was no plan to do a rematch.
Yeah, that's right. Hogan never did get a rematch.
Didn't he like film a movie?
No, because right after that, Hogan wrestled at Bash at the Beach. He wrestled at Hog Wild. In those matches with Dennis Rodman, Carl Malone, Jay Leno.
Yeah.
So Hogan.
Then the Warrior came in.
The Warrior came in September. And Hogan was in the War Games, and then they wrestled at Halloween Havoc. Hogan did not wrestle at World War III and Starcade, because around Starcade, that's when he came in and said he's running for president.
That's when they gave us Horace Hogan, right?
Yeah, they gave us Horace Hogan. And actually, I watched that January 4th Nitro almost in its entirety the other day. That show had its good spots, but was overly ponderous because of the drawn out silliness of Goldberg being arrested and Elizabeth being interviewed and so on and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, he said those are real cops, by the way. Those weren't actors.
No,
those are real cops.
That I believe. You know what other thing I watched the other day? When Hogan came out with his announcement that he was running for president, I don't know if you saw this, Tony C, because I had not remembered any of this. Bobby Heenan and Gene Okerlin are backstage, right? Because the news came out that the president of the United States was going to visit Nitro. They were like in somewhere up north, okay? like Cleveland, Ohio, something like that. So Bobby Heenan and Gene Oakland are backstage waiting, you know, for the caravan for the president.
The police motorcade.
And in comes the limos, right? Followed by the Secret Service. And they go up to Gene Okerlund. Sir, you have to move. What do you mean I have to move? You have to move, sir. Okay, Gene Okerlund is like a little hesitant, so he moves out of the way. But he wants to get in closer to see what the hell is going on. He goes, you don't have any right to tell me to move. This is a television program. I need to get the inside scoop. You know, he was like arguing with the Secret Service. If you don't move, we're going to arrest you. You don't have any authority to arrest me. You know, Gene Okerlund is fighting with the Secret Service. It was pretty funny. Bobby Heenan, of course, did not get involved. But you could definitely look that up. It's on the WWE Network. I think it was like December 7th of 98 or something like that. But anyways.
Leading into Starcade.
Leading into Starcade because he was so... he was so... Like insulted that the Secret Service would ask him to move. And let me see if I can find it here.
Did he tell him he had to flee the lawyers?
No, he did not. Hold on. Who said Back in Black, paid for by the New World? Hold on. Hold on, I'm going to find it. Because it is pretty... I got it here. Here we go. Hold on.
They say that the man's in these cars. Find something out here.
Oh, no doubt.
All right, once again, we are back in the docking area here at the Nassau County Coliseum. Gene Okerlund along with Bobby Heenan. We are anxiously awaiting the arrival promised by NWO Hollywood of the President of the United States. Some are skeptics saying that couldn't possibly be, but if indeed it is true, Bobby Heenan, you'd have to agree, it would be the biggest story of the year in professional wrestling.
Boy, no doubt about that. Here comes something.
If our cameraman could catch that, that looks like the motorcade. I believe it could be.
Oh, my goodness.
This is unbelievable.
Oh. There's a motorcycle police with the red lights.
I can see this apparently is... Secret Service or something. It looks very officious. Maybe Bischoff was right.
Hey, who knows anymore? Who really knows?
Okay, maybe we could find something out here. There's a van or sports utility vehicle of some sort. Gentlemen, what's going on here? Yo, what's going on?
You gotta go back.
What? Secured area? But I can stay here, right? I certainly would think so.
Hey, I'd get out of there, Gene, if I were you. You know,
he says we gotta go back. He says,
what do you mean we gotta go back? They can't throw us out of here. We're doing a television show.
They can do anything they want.
Who's restricted area?
Who's here? Who's in these cars?
Listen, it's restricted area. You gotta stay back.
Don't tell me it's a restricted area.
Sir, I don't want to have to say it again. Please, step back. Step back.
Wait a minute. Okay, I have been asked to step out of here.
We stand Bobby, over there by the trucks.
But I mean, I should be able to be here if it's indeed the President of the United States.
You gotta step back. It's a restricted area.
What are you guys doing to me?
I said step back.
Who are you?
Step back.
Who are these people? I don't know what's going on. Obviously, they gotta be Secret Service people. I'll take a look here. Big, long, stretch limousine. Flags of the United States.
That's it. That's the real deal, pal.
And look at the security behind that.
Wow.
Which limo do you think he would be in?
I think he'd be in the first one here with the flags.
Yeah, but I mean, look at all the security around number two there.
Yeah, they're walking with the second one.
This is unbelievable.
All right, guys. I don't know if you can hear me, but when the Secret Service says step back, you better...
So, yeah, he was pretty pissed. He had to be pushed out of the area. But anyways.
Now, Bischoff also gave us some behind-the-scenes talk about what happened with Randy Anderson and that whole firing angle.
Yeah? What does
he talked about how Harvey Schiller office is getting flooded with emails and calls wanting Bischoff to be fired because the way he treated Randy Anderson. he said Harvey Schiller was getting emails and phone calls from Randy Anderson church members and friends and family. Say to fire Eric Bischoff, yo. And Harvey Schiller had to call him in the meeting and say, this angle is too much. It went no kayfabe. It was too much kayfabe being broke.
That's funny.
So the old church lady was calling in.
Yep, saying that Eric Bischoff was mistreating Randy Anderson.
She probably used some ungodly language.
Especially after he got fired in front of his kids.
Would you please tell your daddy that he's still fired? That's still one of my favorite moments in all of wrestling. This seemed very out of place because I thought after the whole thing, after Bischoff had been suspended by Harvey Schiller and everything, that Randy Anderson had come back and everything was fine, right? Then on that January 4th Nitro, which was the first Nitro where Ric Flair was in charge of WCW, he calls out Randy Anderson to give him his job back at double the pay. And I'm thinking, this storyline happened like 2 years ago.
Exactly.
Why are they doing this?
That is true. You did get it.
You got it, and you know, but yeah. It was very odd.
Now you're
going to
make me watch WCW 1999 all over again. Like, Star Nitros. And shout out to Bret Hart. Over the holidays, I watched some WCW Bret Hart promos. Although some of them were dry, it's some dudes in there, especially with him and Ric Flair was going at it.
I saw some of those too recently.
And that damn
Flair would be like, "Just tell me that line again about coming around the mountain," and oh man, that's just too funny. Especially recently with that, you know, with Gene Okerlund dying, that they've been highlighting a lot of these interviews and stuff. But yeah.
We'll see. Like the one about talking about me and Gene talking about the pole vault contest with Woman.
Oh yeah. Because I'm about to go participate in a pole vaulting contest. Oh man. But anyways, so you've had a productive month.
Oh yeah. Just taking it easy, man. You know, ain't complaining.
That's good. That's good.
And I didn't get to say, you know, congratulations on you joining the club fraternity.
Thank you. I'll talk about that here in 1 second. Oh, by the way, I gotta apprise everybody of something that Tony C did during our time off. So, you know, New Year's Eve, at 12 midnight, we all text each other Happy New Year and this and that and the other thing. And at, had to have been 1 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day. So not even an hour into the new year, into 2019, I get a message from Tony C. I'm having my first burger of the new year. Now I gotta ask: did you go out and get that burger, or did you had purchased the burger earlier in the night and was saving that for your afternoon, for your evening snack, I should say?
No, I went out and got it.
You went out and got it.
I made my way.
Was it Wendy's?
Oh no, it was Denny's.
Yeah, he's a Denny's guy now. He loves his.
Oh, okay.
What about Denny's?
And after he learned that you can get
an extra patty
for like 50 cents or $1.50 or something like that.
Uh-oh.
He's been, you know, enjoying it like crazy.
Yeah, I only do that like once every 3 or 4 months. Because I tried, when I first started doing it, I was doing it every month, a couple times a month. And I was coming to find out the burger couldn't stay together, man. That's too many damn patties on a damn piece of bread, man. I have to need 2-4 pieces of bread. It's falling apart, and all like my.
Or you just get them to slice the top off of the top one and just make it into like a Big Mac, and you'd be all right.
Yeah, I could do that, but all right. And then that heartburn I had to deal with later on. Yeah.
Too much meat. Man. Too much meat.
Where's the beef?
No homo. because it's something about Denny's patties, man.
They're not frozen anymore. I know that. They're not frozen anymore. Exactly.
I had some foot ruckers, last week. And it don't look the same. It's just something about Denny's, man. The Denny's burger just is the bee's knees, man. It's end all be all. If I had a choice, that's where I'm going to get my burger from. They got me hooked.
And they're
going to
be open.
And they're going to be open, exactly.
And that's another thing, too. That is so convenient. You can get up. I can go on a burger at 2 in the morning. I could be dreaming about a double cheeseburger, and then I can go get one.
You put more bacon on there?
I mean, I tried bacon, and then, that if I want that, I just go get a monster burger from Hardee's. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I know about them.
That used to be my burger choice back in the day. But Hardee's stopped using the sesame seed bun. And I'm a real advocate of sesame seed bun.
Oh God.
If you want right, to eat your burger,
okay, I'll make sure I have some sesame seed buns. I will put that. Tony C will get the sesame seed buns. Man, sir.
I'm a heavy sesame seed bun, so Hardee's.
McDonald's
is okay. Rallies, Chuckers, Burger King. I don't really do places without a sesame seed bun too much.
I don't believe Wendy's has ever
Wendy's and,
has no. never had a sesame seed bun burger.
No, they never.
They haven't. That's why I don't really. I mean, I gotta have a taste for a Wendy's burger for me to be like, yo. I want some Wendy's. Buns make a whole lot of difference, man. When you eat the burger, it can go like Chick-fil-A. But that damn Five Guys do.
Five Guys does.
You can't go wrong with Five Guys neither now. I mean, Five Guys got cookout. That's when I come up your way. Yeah, y'all cookout. Five Guys need to do a damn come down on their prices. I can get 2 double cheeseburgers
for the price of 1 burger
at Five Guys.
Exactly. Yeah,
$20 at Five Guys only gonna get me 2 burgers and a fry.
Well, you only need but 1 fry. They
dump them fries. Yeah, that's true. They do dump them, but. At Denny's, I can eat off the double cheeseburger at Denny's for like 2-3 days. Well, 2 days if I wanted to. Five Guys, that little small burger for $20, 2 of them, that's just 1 day.
Yep.
I'm just saying, Five Guys, it's 2019. You got to get with the program, yo.
And they need like a dollar menu.
I ain't saying they gotta go that small. They ain't gotta go that cheap. Damn,
yeah.
$5 menu, burgers and some fries. Yeah. And I get the double. I get the 2 patties. I get the 1 patty.
Yeah, that's the same here.
Well,
so
what about you, Doom? How's that yard bird for lunch?
Well, I was on mute for a while, so I was shoving it down my throat. But it's pretty good. Royal Farms got some good chicken.
Oh, speaking of yard bird, you know what has changed my life in 2019?
What has changed?
That damn Famous Bowl. That Famous Bowl from KFC.
That's been around for years.
But I never had one. I had one for the first time, like last week, man. And I told him to keep the corn, just mashed potatoes, chicken, and cheese, and gravy. Oh, my God. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell my wife to bring me two of them home tonight.
Oh, good Lord.
A famous bowl. It's a pound of food.
For $5.
For $3.
Oh, for $3. Excuse me. What
about that $5 deal with Popeyes?
Well, they even switched it up. Now they got a they got a 3-piece and a what biscuit?
Mm-hmm. $5.
Hold out
and a drink.
Well, the best deal was 4 for $5, but yeah. I don't know, man. That damn Popeyes, man, that don't sit well with me on my chest. I have to pay for that later on. I don't like food where I got to pay for it later on.
I'll pay the price for me.
Exactly. I don't like to pay the piper later on. So I ain't had Popeyes in a minute. Been on a little Popeyes strike. Now this KFC famous bowl and changed my life. Matter of fact, let me send a text message right now.
So, all right. Well, I have a yard bird. I have a couple yard bird stories, actually.
Y'all go ahead and tell y'all story.
By the way, you hear this cough?
You didn't cough New York cooter.
I sure did. Luckily, it's just a cough. But, wow, let me drink some water here. Hold on.
Oh, man. That sounds like he got some ice cubes up. He must got like some ionic water bottles.
No. It's just a glass thing full of ice water.
Okay.
Anyways, the last show we did was December 18th, and after that came Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff, and then my wedding came. And the wedding was great, went off without a hitch, and then a guy boarded a plane, and I went to New York. Gotta talk about my plane ride, though, because, the fine folks at Delta, they...
Served you that little piece of chicken and a big piece of bread.
No, my in-flight entertainment was saved by the bell, so I was I was pretty happy with that. And so I watched some Saved by the Bell on my way to and from New York. So that's all I had to say about the flight.
Episode?
They only had 4 episodes available. And I watched them all twice. Classic episodes. Let me see here. 1, 2. 3 of them are classics, 1 not so much.
Zach and Cody fighting?
No. The Prom, where everybody takes driver's ed, where they try to save the Max, by having the marathon on the radio station, and exactly. And the episode where they go to that, they take that boot camp class, where Zach's team defeats Slater's team, but yeah, of course, in my opinion, the funniest episode out of all of them is the Driver's Ed episode with Mr. Tuttle, because I'm a big fan of
Mr.
Tuttle.
That's right.
But anyways,
pushy pushy, move your tushy.
Exactly. I love it. It's a shame that he was not a more prominent teacher. I mean, they all had great teachers, but I think Mr. Tuttle was the teacher there at Saved by the Bell, at Bayside, I should say. Hold on, I gotta Yeah, they showed four episodes. With, by the way, the original opening, you know, that you know.
And you know, speaking of that, the different worlds on Prime, they are the original episodes from NBC.
Yeah.
They're not like the
original uncut episodes, not the ones that went into syndication.
Yep, because they have a little, they do like how they do a little part and then the theme song come in. You know how the shows do that? They have like, they come out, they do a little something, they do a
whatever. Tupac theme song. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Tupac on there. Yeah. Billy D. Woods. I mean, the whole crew. I'm just saying. I think Amazon Prime.
Well,
they have it.
Hulu and Netflix, they have the same thing. They have the uncut episodes, you know. And the thing that's what I love about DVDs and streaming and stuff in this day and age, because you get the full, unedited, uncut episodes, with the exception of a few instances here and there where they maybe edit something out, but for whatever the reason is. But here we go. Here's a little bit of that episode with Mr. Tuttle. Part.
I told you not to use that stupid car, but you're always the rebel, aren't you?
Oh, sure. Blame Tuttle. Forget that he has feelings. Forget that he was next in line to be principal. Had the color scheme for this office all picked out. Your taste is so tacky.
So is your personality. You'll excuse me. The school has a problem, and the principal who was hired will take over.
Whatever you say, Mr. Balding.
I love that. I just love that. Anyways. And then, of course, he was the leader of the teacher union when the teachers went on strike, if you recall.
Yep.
Anyways.
So, what was up with this restaurant with you and Phil? Because I had a bone to pick about what they don't say.
All right. So let me get to that. So we get to New York, right? And it's colder than a witch's tit.
A mother-in-law embrace.
And let me tell you something. And I'm going up there thinking I'm going to get snow. I want to see snow. There was threat of snow. I was there for 7 days. There was a threat of snow for 4 of those days. Not a flake to be seen. But it was colder than hell. I think the coldest was 21 degrees. And look, here it is now in New York. And for the next 4 days, it's supposed to snow in New York. And on Sunday, the temperature is going to be 5 degrees, you know. So, I was pissed that there was no snow. But it was colder than hell. That's why you hear me coughing. I don't mind the cold. It's this taking the jacket on and off and the gloves and the skull cap and this and that every time you walk in and out of a building because the building has the heater on and you're sweating through your clothes. I can't take that. That part I can't stand. And I'm glad to be driving, by the way, again, because walking the 50 miles I walked in those 7 days was enough for me. My feet still hurt.
You were soaking in some
Hollywood? Did you have a Wolfpack Hogan fairly on?
No, but I should have.
You see how crazy the drivers are up there?
You know what? I didn't see that much crazy drivers. I mean, there are some, but I didn't see that many either. But I walked. I mean, I walked pretty much all the main areas in New York City. I went. You know, I was based out of Times Square, but you know, I walked down in the financial district. I went to Columbus Circle, which is where AOL Time Warner is. Tony C knows because I texted him a picture of outside the CNN, out of the front door of CNN.
Should have went up there and saw Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo.
Nah, and then you know, before we went on break, we joked how we were thinking about doing the show during this time. And we joked about how we were going to be going head-to-head with Wolf Blitzer. And Wolf isn't on right now. So, But anyways,
John King is on.
John King is
on in 9 minutes.
Exactly. So anyways, I went everywhere. You know, I went to Wall Street. I went to Columbus Circle, Central Park. I went to Chinatown, Little Italy. I ate everything that I possibly could eat that I was unable to get coming back to Florida. So I didn't eat no McDonald's or anything like that. But
authentic pizza is good up there, boy.
Authentic what?
Pizza.
I went to America's oldest pizzeria. I went to Lombardi's. Had me a slice of pie, or a few slices of pie from there. It was great. I smuggled some bagels back. I brought some bagels from New York.
I always do that when I come up.
And then this is what I did, right? So my first day exploring, I don't know if you guys remember a few months ago, I talked about this place, Jollibee, that apparently it's a Filipino fried chicken joint that's a chain. I was tickled to death to learn that there was a location by my hotel. And let me tell you something. First, on Tuesday, I went to – or was it Monday? I think it was Monday. Monday, I went to a place called UFC, Ultimate Fried Chicken. But they also call it they also call it KFC, Korean Fried Chicken, and it was this Korean fried chicken, and it was damn good. I mean, we ordered 10 pieces of bird, or 15 pieces of bird, or whatever, in two different flavors.
15 pieces.
Most of it was wings.
Peculiar number.
It's a peculiar number, I know.
You get a 15-piece.
Exactly.
That's a metric system.
But it was 10 wings and 5 drums. And it was really good. Like, really, really good. Then...
I got a question, Double A.
Go ahead.
So was it a lot of black people at the restaurant
else? At the Korean place?
Yeah.
No. As a matter of fact, that day that I went, it was actually kind of quiet.
Like around here, Chick-fil-A is always in line.
It wasn't like that. To be honest with you, it is such a melting pot up there in New York City. I mean, I thought Miami was, a melting pot. No. New York is something else, because you can get daily newspapers there in Korean or Japanese or Chinese. The hotel has channels available in Chinese or Japanese or whatever, and things like that. So, but yeah.
Double A, how you do today?
Well, it wasn't like that, but I went. So let me go to this Jollibee thing, though. So I went to Jollibee. I'm going to get there. So I went to Jollibee. And of course, I had the Jollibee. Shockingly, this place is full of Filipinos ordering fried chicken. And it was actually very, very, very good. Is it up? Does it beat Popeyes? No, but it was. I was surprised at how good it was. I got the 3-piece chicken joy meal, which was like 2 legs and a thigh, or a leg and a thigh, and a wing or some shit like that. And I got like 2 pieces mild and 1 spicy to see how spicy the spicy was. And the spicy damn near blew my socks off.
But
it was spicy as hell. But it was really good. And then, of course, the thing that you got to do there is you got to dip the chicken in the gravy. So I dipped the chicken in the gravy, had some of that. It was good.
So, did they sell biscuits there? That was my biscuit.
No. They sell... spaghetti with hot dogs.
What the?
That's a Filipino thing. But let's go back to Chinatown now, okay? By the way, this is all the Jollibee and the Chinatown all in the same day, okay? We go to Chinatown for lunch, okay? Get off the subway, and I took the subway. We took it all over, okay? I get off on Canal Street, and we start walking into Chinatown. And the minute you get into Chinatown, first of all, you know you're in Chinatown, okay? It's just obvious. And
just like out the movies.
The minute I set foot on the other side of the street, excuse me, sir. You want to buy purse, Louis Vuitton, that type of stuff. And they don't have the actual merchandise. They just have pictures of the purse to show you. And then, I don't know, I guess they fetch the merchandise from somewhere. But, excuse me, but every 2 seconds, excuse me, sir, would you like Louis Vuitton purse, sunglasses, so on and so on and so on and so on. You know, they just...
Real fly prison hygiene equipment too. And
Yeah. So Phil suggested that I go to this Chinese place called Wohop in Chinatown. A real hole in the wall, to say the very least. But Phil says, I used to park when I was driving the ambulance. I used to park outside Wohop and just have lunch there every day. I said, okay, well, whatever. I get in, and I look at the menu, and it says, been here since 1908 or some shit like that. I said, well, if it's been here this long, then I know that this place must be good.
Welcome to the China Club.
The walls are full of pictures and signed dollar bills, okay? But imagine your master bedroom in your house, okay? Or in a normal house. That's how big this restaurant is. Okay? Ain't that big. But all these Asian guys start coming to bring you food and serving you tea and water and whatnot. And they're wearing like these overshirts that they probably have not changed in about 30 years. Like they are beat up, old, dingy, stained. And I'm thinking, what the hell could... I'm looking at the appearance, of these people. I'm like, oh man, this food is not going to be. I don't know. Man, I don't know if I should trust Phil's judgment here on this, because the people kind of are starting to skeeve me out a little. Because with the wearing these shirts that literally they bought in 1976, probably used. Okay. And so we ordered orange chicken and a pork fried rice. Okay? Orange chicken and pork fried rice. And by the way, I'm watching the waiter write the order down on the ticket, and he's writing it in Chinese because, of course, the people in the back, that's the only thing they can read. And okay, I bring food. Wow. Okay. Thank you. And this is how they all sound, right? And they bring the food out. No, first they bring the fried rice. And we don't have like extra plates or anything. They just bring this huge plate of fried rice. And so we're eating off this one plate with our, why you no say something? Why you no say you don't have dishes? I go get dishes. So the guy goes and gets the dish. He gets the dishes and he comes back and, here you go. I'm so sorry. Here are your dishes. Here you go.
I'm so sorry.
Here are your dishes. Your chicken coming right out. And so the chicken comes out. Doesn't look like any orange chicken I've ever seen.
Oh, my God, Double A. You should have had Tony C. go with you that restaurant.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, Tony C. would have laughed his ass off the entire time.
Hey, guys, I got to run back to work.
Okay.
I'll see y'all next week.
All right. So I'm here like, with this chicken. It's sliced chicken breast, breaded, and with orange slices, and it, let me tell you, that fried rice and the chicken was outstanding. It was really good. And so yeah, Phil really he hit it out of the park with that one. But I met Phil the night before. We went to this Italian place, Carmine's, where the food was excellent. The food was just really good. We had pasta and egg filling parm. We had this antipasto platter that had a whole bunch of different things on it. And it was just, it was really good. And Phil, we had a great time. We laughed. We joked. We ragged on somebody who's not here. We ragged on the silver one a little bit. And I gotta tell you, let me talk about something here about Surfer. And he has not called in, he has not responded to my text or whatever. So Surfer knew. Okay, let me I'm gonna call a few people out actually. Let's start with the least offensive, Mark Jones. Okay, Mark Jones, for those of you that don't know, is a listener of the show, of the various shows on the network. Has been for many years. Used to come on the Wrestling Call-In Show on a regular basis and things like that. And, you know, with times, you know, he has he's gotten busy and now, you know, does other things. But so on my last night in New York, I had put a picture of Instagram on Instagram of me eating in Times Square. And he responds like, "You're in New York near my job and you didn't say anything?" How long have I been saying I'm going to New York, Tony C? Like a year.
Yeah.
Everybody knew I was going to New York for my honeymoon. Everybody knew when I was going to be in New York because I gave the dates and everything. So Mark Jones, I don't understand what it is that how I could have caught you off guard with that. Obviously, you don't pay attention to what we say. But I've only been talking about this for like a year. But anyways, on to Surfer, who's, we all know, is a unique person, okay? So I got to talk about how what we talked about Surfer at that dinner on that Thursday night.
Was Mikey at the dinner?
No, he was not. But we talked about Mikey in glowing terms, and Phil told the story of his infamous night at the at Joe's Crab Shack. Anyways,
oh my.
Because Phil was I mean, I'm not speaking out of school here because I think Phil talked about it on the air already. His new bae, as they call it in 2019. You know, take that as you will. So as we're telling her the back history, the network, and everything, and he's telling the story about Mikey and the crabs. We start talking about Surfer. And we talked about the infamous chicken spread episode, which is Surfer's, you know, claim to fame. And she was laughing her ass off as we're telling this story. And because, you know, anybody you tell it to, it's funny. It's just funny, the whole thing. But as I'm talking and talking and talking, and me and Phil, we had a back and forth about Surfer. I need to go rewind a little bit here. So Surfer knew I was going to New York, and Surfer had been asking me what days was I going to be up in New York. And I was always telling him I'll be up first week of January after, you know, the wedding's on the 5th. I'll be up that Monday, and I'll be up there for a full week. That was always my response to Surfer. And I had been telling him that, and telling him that, and telling him that, and telling him that, and telling him that. Okay. So, he kept asking, when am I going to be up there? When am I going to go see Phil? I don't know when I'm going to go see Phil. I will figure that out when I get there. Oh, because he wanted to come up and you know, hang out with us, which is fine. Didn't make sense for him to come take the Megabus for 4 hours to go to New York to, you know, have dinner with us, but if that's what he wanted to do, fine. The week before the wedding, when are you going to be in New York? I'm going to be up in New York next Monday. All right. New Year's passes, right? And there is a group message that myself, Tony C., Lee, Phil and Surfer are all a part of, and that we text periodically in this group text message. Okay, so New Year's passes. Happy New Year, everybody. This is from me. Lee says, Happy New Year's, family. Tony C., Happy New Year's, fellas. Phil, same thing. Happy New Year, everybody. Nothing from Surfer. So, the days pass. I have the wedding. And while I'm packing my bags, it just hits me that Surfer never wished anybody a Happy New Year, knowing very well that he probably did not receive the message due to his wonderful cell phone, okay, that we've talked about here in the past. So I said, we're going to see how long it takes for Surfer to acknowledge that either he sent us Happy New Year's or he never saw the message or whatever. Almost immediately, Surfer responds with, I don't know what you're talking about or whatever. Okay, whatever. He says he didn't receive the message. I said, okay, he didn't receive the message. I don't believe that, but he received the one of us talking about how he didn't wish us Happy New Year's. We received that one. So, I get to New York. He sends another message. When are you going to be in New York? How many times am I going to say I'm going to be in New York on January 7th? Then he starts messaging Phil. And messaging Phil about some nonsense about we're talking shit about him in the messages and this and that. Like, we're not talking shit about, we're busting his balls openly so that he could see it, so he could see, you know, that he's not receiving all the text messages or whatever. And I had already responded in that text message that I'll be up there Monday the 7th. At a certain point, I stopped responding because either he was never going to get my message, or by the time he got it, it was going to be too late. Now, I text Surfer right as we were coming on the air today to say, call in, we're live. Now, has he called in? No. Has he responded to the text message? No. But I guarantee that if I ask Tony C., did you get my message? In the group message where I said, Surfer, yep, we're live if you want. You got it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Tony C. got it, which means Lee and Phil also got it. So he can't say that he was not included, not informed, not of this, not of that. But he got offended that we were talking shit about him in a group text message that he is included in.
That's a terrible one, man.
Unbelievable. So yeah, he's a unique person. But Surfer, you missed your opportunity to hobnob with me and Phil and our significant others, because now I don't know when I'll be up in the Northeast again. I can guarantee it's not going to be when it's cold outside. But, because as much as I want to see snow, I definitely don't want to be taking my jacket on and off 100 times a day. That was the only thing I really didn't like. Go ahead.
Here's my other question regarding your trip.
Yes.
Were you affected by the TSA and the government shutdown?
I had that concern on my way to the airport that Monday, and then I had that concern coming back last week, or this past Monday, and no, I was not affected.
Okay.
I went through TSA screening with almost no incident.
Cool.
No egg cream, Shane. Sugar Shane in the chat room. And of course, the chat room is open. Everything is open as per usual. Let me address something else now. Why we're on the air on a Thursday afternoon. So, well, I'm still on vacation. And next week, I'm still on vacation. Probably more than likely, we will be on the air next Thursday at this same time. More than likely. I'll talk it over with Tony C. and see if our schedules align. If not, maybe we'll change the day or whatever. But for the time being, we will not be back on Tuesday nights until the situation here is completely settled. Now, I go back to work the day after the Royal Rumble. So there could be a period of time where there is no shows. We could go a week or two without doing the shows. Because remember, I discussed it like on the last show of the year. And I apologize for this call. There's some transition going on. The studios are being remodeled and things like that. So there's some activity going on that could be prohibitive of us, you know, producing content for a period of time. But by the time, I would say, beginning of February, mid-February rolls around, we'll be back on Tuesday nights on a weekly basis, and then we'll start going in that direction to the road to WrestleMania and things like that. In the interim, I've given the authority to the Shining Wizards to stay on the air on Tuesday nights as long as they want. So if you are a listener of the Shining Wizards and you listen to them live at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, they have the ability now to stay on the air past 9 o'clock until we come back, which I think right now is probably going to be the first Tuesday in February. I'm not sure yet, but it all depends on how quickly we can make this transition. And really, the transition has not begun yet because it's not scheduled to begin until Monday, like the beginning of the moving and the fixing and all those things don't start until Monday. But next week I'm still on vacation, so more than likely, one day during the week, probably on Thursday as well, we'll do another show at this same time that we're doing. You know, we'll go head to head with Wolf Blitzer again.
John King at 12.
John
plus.
King. They changed the schedule because I'm looking at the thing here and they got all these new people I've never seen before. I've never heard of before. Brianna Keeler.
Yeah.
And
I ain't seen Wolf probably on vacation.
I guess that's
or unless you coming on at 5.
I don't know.
Five to seven.
Saw a lot of Hasidic, a lot of new faces, but a lot of Hasidic people up there in New York. A lot of everything, man. If you are, it was a good trip though. It was a very good trip. Very productive. Spent a lot of money, but it was very productive. Things ain't cheap up there, not by a long shot.
Of course,
and especially when the taxes, I think 12.5%. You know, some ridiculous thing. And you want to hear something even funnier? Where is it? I have it here somewhere. Where did I put it? Here it is. So my lovely hotel, okay. Which, by the way, I was there for 7 days, okay? And I have no grievances with my hotel. And I got a good deal on it, and whatever. I was there for 7 days. The total bill was $1,271, okay? Had like a little kitchen area type thing and whatnot. Pretty cheap, considering what's in New York City. Because if you get anything under $1,500, you're very lucky. For a week now. Listen to this. Listen to the taxes that I'm paying. I paid for every single day that I was there. Okay? State tax, I understand. City tax, okay. Occupancy tax, okay. This one, I don't get. Okay? I paid a tax of $1.50 for every single day that I was there for the Javits Center. The Javits Center is the place where they have Comic-Con and stuff. I paid a tax. I'm a visitor, but I'm paying taxes, I guess, to fund the Javits Center.
That's right.
That's ridiculous. New York is corrupt when it comes to this money business, man. Let me tell you. Because all I see in New York is money coming in hand over fist. Because there's everywhere in the city, there's people hustling, trying to make a deal, trying to get money, and people just buying shit left, right, and sideways. And, by the way, I committed a grievous crime in New York. My first night in New York. I had gotten the days mixed up because the Korean fried chicken was on Tuesday. So on Monday night, we had Italian food in New York. But not from a traditional Italian place, Tony say. We went to the OG on Monday night in Times Square. Went to the Olive Garden. And when I told Phil about had a heart attack at the table. You know, because he just threw his arms up in the air like, why would you do that? We gave him a reason. We justified it the best we could. But yeah, he you know, almost ruined the evening, that comment right there. But yeah, either way, we had a great time. We went to Carmine's, then we went to Junior's, where we had some dessert, and it was really good. So yeah, I recommend you go to New York, you eat a lot, hobnob with all the Jewish people, all the Asian people, because let me tell you, there's a lot of them, and a lot of Asian people. I mean, and you know what's funny, Tony C?
What's that?
We as much as we've joked here for so many years, I did not see a single dry cleaners in New York.
That was Jimmy Wang Yang.
No dry cleaners. You know what I wanted to go see, but I just, you know, I'm not gonna go and put in the effort to look for it. I wanted to look for the Jefferson's building.
Oh, so you can say
exactly. You know, so I could say, well, I went to the east side and
deluxe apartment.
I went to the deluxe apartment. Exactly. Hey. Let me tell you, I don't do well up on those high floors. I went to the Empire State Building, went to the 86th floor, and I was shaking in my boots. You know, but
nervous.
Oh man, it was enough that I was on the 20th floor in my hotel. but yeah, all in all, it was a good trip, and I was bummed, you know, right before the wedding, because I had a few days off before the wedding. You know, the big wrestling news that happened was that Mean Gene died.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess we could have said that this day was coming, but my goodness. I was bummed. I legitimately was bummed. That was January 2nd. It was 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. And it kind of just took the air out of everybody's lungs. Please. Sales, because on top of that, Gene Okerlund was a current WWE employee.
You know? He was on the payroll.
He was doing WWE story time and still a lot of things for the company. And but yeah, it was really sad. And then they started showing all these classic interviews and things like that. It was nice. It was nice to see all the classic interviews. They showed some of my favorites. Did you get a chance to see the Mean Gene documentary on the WWE Network?
No, I didn't even know.
Yeah,
Let me tell you.
They had one that aired after Raw this past Monday night, and it was very good. For as quickly as they were able to put it together, it was very good. Go ahead.
Let me make a confession. I unplugged from WWE right after we went off the air back in December.
I did too.
Unplugged. I've been peeping my head in here and there.
Me too.
Uh, You know, they came to town.
Yes, I know they did.
January, the first Monday. I was mad because I didn't know Brock was going to be there. I would have probably went if I know.
Well, on top of that, Hogan was there.
Yeah, he was. He was in a bad, awkward position because people were like, yeah, Hogan's here, but we don't know how to react. Don't really care. I mean,
okay. That's his town, you know?
Yeah. One of the towns.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I kind of unplugged. I tried to stick my head back in this past Monday here and there. So
a lot of changes going on right now.
Yeah, I saw them. I mean, I woke up Tuesday morning. I was like, Bobby Lashley, the Intercontinental Champion. What?
A lot of changes. I mean, you got, I guess the
Finn Balor against Brock Lesnar. What?
Finn Balor against Brock Lesnar because Braun Strowman was not cleared to compete. Which, by the way, speaking of Braun, you know, kudos to Publix for tweeting out that picture of Braun Strowman. Apparently, Braun frequents Publix. And I went to a brand new Publix today that just opened today. So, that was fun. That was good to go. But anyways.
Vince McMahon. Okay. Braun Strowman was, I saw he was fine. His number, that's higher than what Savage got,
yeah,
right?
Savage got, was, repeat in Gene Okerlund's voice, $50,000. He's not going to be picking up any more bar tabs.
Okay, he was only 50. I thought they hit him for 100 one time, but maybe
it's possible.
Maybe that was because he got 50 for Chip Burnham. Nothing. Did he get fined for JJ? That time he beat up
JJ? I think he did. Yes, he did.
But it won.
Yes, he did. He did get fined.
But it won 100.
Oh, yeah. I think it was 50,000.
Got 100. And flipping over, ripping on Vince McMahon doors and stuff. Now, I did see Tuesday night, AJ Styles in the alcove,
mm-hmm,
giving out shirts and stuff.
I saw that too.
I wonder if that comes out of his merch numbers.
Maybe.
And then him and Daniel Bryan getting in a fight. Now, what happened with this Mandy Rose and Jey Uso thing?
That's where I'm lost. I'm lost, but apparently the Mandy Rose thing is the hottest thing going right now. And I think that's just because there's a lot of people perving out about it.
Are they going like Lana and... Didn't they try this with Lana and somebody in the room?
English.
Yeah, Aiden English.
But this is more of... You know, I think they're going to have a home record. That Jimmy could. I think Jimmy's going to cave.
Oh, he's feeling Mandy Rose.
He's basically feeling, exactly. So.
Oh.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
This ain't going to be no Flair and Precious type situation.
No, I don't think so.
Jimmy Jarvis.
I don't think so.
Oh my God!
But it was that was interesting to see that too. There's a lot of unique things going on, and then I watched on Tuesday because you know since I wasn't doing the show, I watched 205 Live in its entirety, and I was blown away. Well, you know, maybe blown away is exaggerating a little bit, but I was certainly surprised with the main event. The main event of 205 Live this past week was Buddy Murphy against a new guy that I had never seen before in my life, Humberto Carrillo. Now, he had been a star in Mexico, apparently, and he came to WWE. WWE took the mask off, and he's just wrestling. He's a babyface kid, okay? Like, legitimately clean cut, young babyface. And I don't mean babyface as a good guy. I mean babyface like young. And I'm thinking, okay, this is probably going to be a squash match. It's whatever. They wrestled for about 30 minutes in a match that I was like, oh my God, of how good the match was. Now, I'm not going to put it up there with one of the best matches I've seen in the last 5 years, no. But I was like, really? They're investing this type of time and this type of match quality on somebody that is making their debut on television. That is an unknown to the world. And I was floored. I think WWE is really changing a lot of things creatively. Wrestling-wise, things are changing. But this transition period is very awkward. It's really awkward with the way things are going. Because now everybody's scratching their head. What's going to happen at the Royal Rumble? I don't think Finn Balor's going to win the title. But if he wins it, I would be insanely surprised. But with Braun not facing Brock Lesnar, that sets up the match ultimately happening at WrestleMania. That's what I think is going to happen.
And then what? Braun getting the rub at Mania?
I think so. Finally? I think so. So, that's how I see it going down.
And then Brock going. This is what I want to talk to you about, too. This what was going on while we was off. Your boy DW, Dana White, Dana White McMahon, and John Jones, and
yeah, I saw all that.
I
saw that he had a little bit of steroids in his system, but he swears that was from when he used to use, that traces remained in his system, but that he wasn't using, and so he was cleared to fight. Anyways. That is...
Don't do John Jones like that.
That is scripted and worked more than anything else that we've seen in WWE in the last 6 months.
That's a storyline.
I mean, that's a great storyline, isn't it? A guy who has traces of steroid in his system, who's, you know, if you're found with even one little molecule you're not supposed to be fighting, is given the okay to fight. Because you know, with the belief that it was from when he originally was using and that it just hadn't left his system. I mean, he was accused of having steroids in his system how long ago? A year? You're going to tell me it's a year? Something's going to be in your system?
Hey. Don't do John
Jones. I'm no doctor,
like that.
But that's, you know. Tony C, you've been on pain meds for how long?
A minute.
Have you changed your medication? In the minute that you've been taking them, like change it to something else.
No, they keep you on the same ones.
Now, could you imagine? No, okay. Let's go back to the time when you were taking the shots. Do you think that by now there'd be any trace of those shots in your system?
No.
Yeah. So the same would apply with this. I don't understand. You know. How they could just believe that and let it go. So that's chalk one up to creative booking. Creative booking, exactly.
Oh man.
And so yeah.
Now they got women tag team titles, huh? Too.
That'll be the champions will be determined at the Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber. Can't wait for that one. Did we get a fast lane? Do we get fast lane this year too?
Right? I don't know. I have to check.
And they're not gonna get rid of fast lane like that.
I'm trying to think of other storylines that are just going on that are just weird. I have to watch. On this coming Monday, I'm going to watch the show in its entirety to, you know, get
plugged back in.
But so far, what I've seen, it's been awkward. Now John Cena is the guy to put over guys.
Yep. Giving people rubs.
He's the guy that gives the rub now. That's his job title.
And they say he's gonna put over the Lars Sullivan dude, I guess.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah. These awkward segments with the new NXT people are just that. They're awkward. And then when you have all these influx of NXT talent coming in, then you read the stories of all these talents that are asking for their releases from WWE. Like, I believe there are 5 people that are going to be leaving WWE based on the news that's going around right now.
What 5?
The Revival, Maria and Mike Kanellis, and Dolph Ziggler. Dolph's contract is set to expire at the end of the month. The Revival and Maria and Mike Kanellis asked for their releases after not being utilized the way that they feel that they should be utilized. The Revival went as far as saying, we don't mind working in NXT. Can we go back to NXT? And, you know, I guess the WWE is not, you know, giving them their wish, but the thing that's going on here is that now with this new promotion, AEW, from Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and everything, and the owner of the Jaguars putting in $100 million into this promotion.
Ooh, Amir Khan.
I think so. Somebody an owner. I think it's the owner of the Jaguars who's putting $100 million into the promotion. And you know, they've already got a commissioner. They got a president. They said that they're putting together how they're gonna be booking the storyline, so to speak. They're not gonna have writers, supposedly. And
well, who they're gonna have bookers?
They're gonna have bookers, not writers. But we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. The thing that Jim Cornette said this in regards to what they're trying to accomplish, that he wishes them the best, okay, and hopes that they have the ability to succeed if things work in their favor. However, it's very different to start a wrestling promotion with experience than start a wrestling promotion with no experience. And they're in the position of starting a wrestling promotion with no experience. And he says that's where their downfall is going to be. They don't have experience in running a wrestling promotion.
Especially when you're trying to go, head-to-head one-on-one with Vince.
And that's what they're trying to do. Because here's the deal. Don't tell me that they're not trying to go after WWE. Okay? Because last Tuesday, when they had that big rally, okay, SmackDown just happened to be in Jacksonville, Florida. And they did their rally a couple of hours before SmackDown happened. They did it in the city of Jacksonville, which I guess that's going to be their home base. They had the press conference with people who are signing with AEW, the biggest being Chris Jericho. And I read Chris Jericho's response to why he signed with AEW. And Chris Jericho's not an idiot. He's a very smart guy. And his response is very intelligent and makes a lot of sense. He says, I had to put myself in the shoes that I was in 1998. Said, and by telling myself, well, here I am in WCW. I've done everything I could possibly do in WCW with what they're going to allow me to do. That's why I went to the WWE. Now, here I am. I've been with the WWE for 19 years. I've done everything that I possibly can do in the WWE. What else am I going to do? Why not just go and try to do something else? So that's why he went to AEW. But they did that press conference deliberately, knowing full well that SmackDown was in town. They could have had that press conference at any other time. No, but they did it deliberately, knowing that SmackDown was in town. And, you know, whatever. I find it a little too suspicious that you've got not one talent, but you've got five talents, five substantial talents, that all of a sudden could possibly no longer be employed with the WWE, which tells me that they could be squiring WWE talent, which means they're not going to be able to build a promotion off their own homegrown talent, which is, that's not a good thing, but whatever. I don't know what to say. I don't see this being a viable promotion. I see them having maybe some immediate success because it's a hot new thing, but once the buzz wears off, I don't think they are going to have the footing to survive, especially when you've got news reports going around that they are trying to get a time slot on TBS or TNT. And I heard that they were not going to go head to head on Monday nights, but that they may go on Tuesday nights, because, you know, in October SmackDown moves to Fox, it moves to Friday nights. That means there's going to be no wrestling on Tuesdays anymore. And so they could very easily go on Tuesday nights. I don't know.
So you're going to be able to catch an episode of Law and Order followed by
AEW Wrestling, All Elite Wrestling. I don't know.
Followed by another episode of Law and Order.
Exactly. So we'll see. At least they got a better deal than TNA. And speaking of TNA, or Impact Wrestling, I should say, Impact Wrestling left Pop TV at the beginning of the year. And they are now on Pursuit TV, Tony C.
What the hell is that?
Pursuit TV is a channel that's available on DirecTV and Dish Satellite owners and some independent cable providers. Get this. Anthem Sports, which is the owner, Anthem Entertainment, which is the owner of TNA, has also, I believe, a 50% interest in Pursuit TV. So that's why they ended up there. They air Friday nights, I believe, at 9 o'clock, I think, on Pursuit TV. So
no longer Impact Wrestling followed by Dynasty.
Nope, doesn't happen
followed
anymore.
Followed by Knox Landing.
Nope, doesn't happen anymore. Doesn't happen.
Followed by Dawson Creek.
Nope, nope, nope.
Damn.
So, let's.
Sorry, Impact Wrestling. And didn't they bring Scott Steiner back? I read.
Again?
He showed up on the. I think I read that he was on the last week.
A show needs to run.
Hey man, that's Big Papa Pump. So, Anthem Sports. Wow. Okay.
I think that's it for news-wise. Of course, Kurt Angle, not on TV, but I don't know if we'll see him on TV for a while because he posted a message on Facebook saying that his 16-year-old niece has been abducted.
They found her.
They found her?
Yeah, I just got an email today from Yahoo. Looks like they found her. Let me see.
That's good.
What does this email say?
That's good.
Yahoo. Let's see. This was on freaking thing.
Let me see. Oh, here we go. Kurt Angle's abducted teen niece saved by Facebook Live video.
See, there you go.
The teen niece of WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle was abducted by her ex-boyfriend and held captive until police saved her Thursday thanks to a Facebook Live video. Marjane Aquil, 16, was grabbed Wednesday from her Pennsylvania home by her armed ex, Jermaine Rogers, 19, who beat her before forcing her into his red sedan. Her uncle pleaded for a safe return. A tipster called Penns Hill Police to say they'd seen Rogers and the teenage girl on a Facebook Live video, WPIXI TV reported. The footage helped police lead to a McKeesport home where the teen was being held. Let's see here. Home Thursday morning. And SWAT eventually went in, finding Rogers hiding in a coal cellar under the front porch. Another missing girl was also found in the home, though she has not been identified. Angle thanked his followers for sharing his post and police help finding his niece. I just want to say thank you. My family is truly appreciative. I love you all. Rogers was accused of kidnapping Angle's niece last year and holding her against her will for 4 days, according to WPXI TV. He's being held on the Allegheny County Jail and is scheduled to appear in court January 28th. So this guy has a penchant for abducting people, apparently.
It looks like it.
That's ridiculous. Anyways, but yeah, outside that, the only other thing that we need to talk about, I guess, is, you know, one's love for Big Macs, Quarter Pounders, Filet-O-Fishes, and salads. Now, Tony C., let me ask you something. You're a man who, you have a refined palate. I know that you like the finer foods once in a while. You know, you enjoy, McDonald's and things like that, like we all do. But once in a while, you do like to treat yourself to a very, very good meal, and you know where to find good food, okay? So, how would you feel, Tony C., okay, if you were coming down to this neighborhood, to my neck of the woods, to Pembroke Pines, and I said, Tony C., when you come down here, I want you to come to my house, and you're gonna have dinner under my roof.
What are you talking
about? You're gonna have dinner under my roof. I'm gonna take care of you, and I'm gonna feed you well. He said, "Great, Double A. I'm looking forward to it."
Home,
and you're thinking friend, exactly. You think you're coming for just a great home cooked meal of just good protein, a couple of different sides. Maybe a little salad,
home cooked meal
with a couple of good beverages. And when you walk in, what I have waiting for you in my kitchen on a silver platter is a couple of Big Macs, some fries, and
room temperature fries,
and a room temperature Big Mac too. And that's about it. What would your reaction be?
I'll be cussing your ass out. What the hell?
So my thought...
I could have stayed at home, yeah.
My thought is would be the same. So our... Well, Tony C's president welcomed the national college champions of football to the White House. And as customary, whenever a team comes into the White House to celebrate a championship win, they are fed by the White House kitchen staff. And they make them a nice meal and all that stuff. And, of course, you have to come dressed for the occasion, too. You have to come in a nice suit and everything. So, whatever. Well, because the government was under a government shutdown and still is as of the airing of this program, which is January 17th, there was no kitchen staff to cook up the meal. So your boss, your president, sent out for some quote-unquote takeout. That takeout being a crap load of Filet-O-Fish sandwiches, a crap load of Big Macs, a crap load of quarter-pounders, Whoppers, salads, and French fries. Now,
Domino's.
Now, by the way, let's bring everybody up to speed. The Big Macs are currently 2 for $5, as well as the quarter-pounders and the Filet-O-Fish. I believe the Whoppers are 2 for $6. And probably those pizzas, were $8 a pop if you go and you pick them up.
Probably that $5.99 special.
It could be that too. Now,
unless you got the $7.99 carryout deal.
That's what I'm trying to say. Either the $5.99 delivery or the $7.99 carryout special. Now.
Oh my God, yo.
Now, when I saw the spread, and it was a lot of food. No, there's no denying that. It was a lot of food.
It looked like that. It looked like a spread when a kid goes visit his daddy for the weekend.
Exactly.
Or a birthday party.
Exactly. So it was a big spread. Okay. So yeah, nobody was gonna go home hungry. Okay. But there was probably 2,000 dollars worth of food there. Maybe.
Maybe
$2,000 worth of food. Okay. A lot of people asked this very intelligent question. Okay. Why couldn't they have taken that same $2,000 and had that food catered from a restaurant?
A real restaurant.
And had like an order of, let's say, like chicken parm and you know, pasta with sauce and stuff like that. A lot of people ask that intelligent question. But your president send his people to McDonald's. Now, I personally would like to have seen the video of the White House staff going through the drive-thru. Can I get... I need 100 Big Macs, 100 quarter pounders with cheese, 100 Filet-O-Fish sandwiches, and 100 fries, and then the person on the other end says, anything else? Yes, one Diet Coke. You know, because I didn't see any drinks there, by the way. It was... That is just, yeah, Tony C, that's just, you don't do that. You just don't do that. I mean, that was ridiculous. That picture of him standing over that spread is why isn't that picture, that picture should be the cover of Time magazine.
What, him in front of all that damn food?
Fast food. Fast food. He didn't even, listen, you could have, I probably for that same money, if he wanted burgers, he could have gotten that money and gotten something from Five Guys. You know, up the game a little bit and do something a little bit better than McDonald's and Burger King.
Listen.
At least it wasn't clear. 30 buckets of KFC.
That's true. I'd have got offended by that. At least he didn't go that route, because I would have been offended because all them black players, you know, on the team, I would have been all the brothers on the team. But they could have stayed in South Carolina for that. Hell, that Dabo Swinney, the coach, could have did that. They could have had a team banquet for that back in South Carolina. That's true.
I'm sure they did.
That's true. I'm just saying.
I mean, Tony C, I've never in my life, you know, you go to a buffet, right? And when you go to a buffet, you know, you take a little chicken, you take a little, you know, a little mashed potatoes, a little. I've never gone to a buffet and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll take a Big Mac, I'll take a filet of fish.
That's a DT buffet, man. That's all he knows.
And then when I said filet-o-fish, and then I read up that that your president is a fan of filet-o-fish sandwiches. So
he could have got him. If he got him Chick-fil-A, I'd have understood it. You know, at least Chick-fil-A costs a little bit more. You know, Chick-fil-A sandwich by what, $5.
And then on top of that, had the nerve to blame the
shutdown.
No, and then he blames the Democrats for the reason why they had to resort to getting fast food.
Oh yeah, because they got the government shut down. Yeah.
You know.
And I just, you know, I feel so bad for all these people coming on CNN and MSNBC, and you know. Can't pay their rent and their mortgage.
But you know, I have not been watching a lot of that. But you know, anytime that I've ever seen anybody being interviewed about the government shutdown,
mm-hmm.
that is being affected by the government shutdown, I don't know what it is that every time I tune in to watch, they interview somebody. Well, I'm not being affected by the government shutdown yet because, you know, I have savings, so I'm living off my savings. But you know, if this goes on for months, you know, then I'll start to worry. I want to talk to the person that doesn't have a savings. You know,
but everybody ain't got savings.
But apparently, everybody that are interviewed has savings. But
I guess basically your point is why are y'all interviewing people with savings?
With savings.
You don't make nobody feel bad.
Exactly. No, interview somebody that's I don't know what I'm going to do because
I'm living paycheck to paycheck.
That is, you know. And there's no $5.99 chicken specials at Popeyes these days.
That's right. And I can only get a payday loan for $500.
Exactly.
They're going to want their money back.
Exactly. At some point, they're going to want their money back.
We're at 20% interest. Daily. Compound. Hey, this is something serious, man. like he told people to tell their rent, their landlords and their mortgage company, you know, to be nice.
To be nice, please.
Be nice. No.
I wonder if there's anybody that's working in any of his buildings, where they live. That they live in the buildings that he owns.
They'll be out on their ass. If they don't have a rent by the fifth, the eviction process starts on the sixth.
Oh, and you know what? Speaking of his buildings, you know what I found very humorous? You'll laugh at this. So I went to the CNN
What's
Center,
that?
Right? I went to the CNN building there in New York, the Time Warner building, which is, you know, you go into the building, it's there in Columbus Circle, and there's a mall that has a whole bunch of stores, has an Amazon bookstore, has a Williams Sonoma, H&M, and a few other stores. Guess what building is right next door? The Trump International and Tower.
Well, that's the one where Vladimir Putin got all the rooms at.
I guess so. Literally next door to CNN.
So,
like CNN could open the window and look at the building. That's how close they are.
So whoever blew up CNN, they're going to blow up Trump Tower.
They could do some damage to the building. Exactly. Exactly.
They're going to jump out the window and head over there.
I'm now that I think about it, now that you say that, Tony, see, I'm probably that whole time when that guy was sending those bombs to CNN, Trump was like, Jesus Christ, my building's there.
Damn CNN.
I don't give a damn about CNN, but my building is right next door.
Somebody catch this maniac.
Exactly.
Before he beat it and blew my building up. Now I know I ain't got no money to rebuild another one.
Exactly.
Oh my God, Joe.
I contemplated going up to the building and just going inside to see what the hubbub was all about, but I said, you know what, no. I'm saving my steps for something else. But boy, oh boy, that was funny. It was funny. But yeah,
you gonna call this episode Big Macs and Quarter Pounders.
Exactly. I had a couple of Big Macs yesterday, but it's another
temperature fries.
There's nothing wrong with Big Macs. And by the way,
I don't like the new quarter pounder.
I don't either.
I haven't had a new one. I had the new one once. I haven't had it since.
Neither have I. But you know what? McDonald's is going to be doing, I think, starting at the end of the week or at the beginning of next week, offering Big Macs and quarter pounders with bacon.
That still ain't gonna help the taste of that burger. It's the meat, the burger has, they done something to it, don't taste the same.
It's that it's natural and it's not frozen. They don't put the same crap in it that they used to, and that's what takes the flavor away. This is the issue. I don't like when they start experimenting with the foods and stuff because they change it so radically. It's not subtle, the changes. It's like when Wendy's changed their beef patties, I didn't like the changes. I thought they tasted better before the change. The same goes with the French fries. Both Burger King and Wendy's had better fries before they both switched.
I agree.
And, whatever. Can't do anything about it.
Now, AA, I'm going to ask you one more question before we get out of here. Golden Corral has a wing fest going on.
Uh-huh.
Are we subject to go to Golden Corral and try their wing?
Why not?
Because the one thing about wings, you can either sauce them too much or the chicken not be seasoned right.
Well, I would in those instances, if I were to do like an all-you-can-eat wing thing, I would do the wings plain with the sauce on the side. That's what I would do.
But I guess they probably going to charge you about $22. $20, $15, $20.
You see, now Golden Corral can get away with the wings. They still can't get away with that steak, but they can get away with the wings.
And it's funny you mentioned steak. They just flashed the commercial talking about the sirloin.
Oh God!
Golden Corral, all you can eat sirloin.
That's all right. I'm not gonna be eating that.
They can have that. I don't know. I don't trust everybody with chicken wings, man.
I don't know. After having this chicken in New York, you know, I was.
Well, how about you go and tell me?
Well, I don't know. I gotta see if I'm behooved enough to go to Golden Corral.
Wing fest.
Let me tell you something. My hotel gave free chicken patties and free burgers the other one night, and I was left very like, I did it because it was free, but I left with like, boy, you get what you don't pay for, right? And you know. but the people were shoveling it down as if it were fillet mignon, okay?
Because it's free.
Oh, my God. And they have free beer and free wine and stuff, and... Anyways, I got to thank everybody who sent me messages, of course, during the absence and on my wedding and this and that. So thank you to that. like I said, we're going to start getting back into the swing of things here. Next week, more than likely, we'll be back next Thursday, same time. Things change. We'll definitely let you know. I'll discuss it with Tony C here off the air here. We're not going to be back on Tuesday nights at least for another couple of weeks. So definitely you'll have a new episode next week. Whether it's on Thursday or another day is up in the air. But you'll definitely get another episode next week. The week after that, I don't know if you'll get a new episode. Right now, I don't know if there's going to be coverage for the Royal Rumble. Which, you know, I don't think people are jumping at the Royal Rumble as they normally do this year. I do know that we are going to have our annual Super Bowl coverage, which is the week after the Royal Rumble. And like I said, I think we'll be back into our normal Tuesday night time slot the first or second week in February. So you definitely can be on the lookout for that. Check out all the shows here on the network. Tomorrow, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, they'll be live from Studio C up there in New York City. Of course, Studio C, located in the Chop House, in Choppy's basement. Monday, the Sports Report, live with William Morgan at the conclusion of Monday Night Raw. The Shining Wizards, live Tuesday at 7. And then, of course, this program, The Rant, will be live sometime next week, probably, like I said, probably next Thursday, 12 o'clock. But we'll see if that changes. We'll let everybody know. Any final thoughts, Tony C, as we close it up here on the first show of the year?
I want to thank everybody for listening to us on Lunchtime Radio.
Exactly. A lot of people tuned in today. A lot of people. I don't know who's listening, but a lot of people tuned in. So... It's good to know.
Yeah, and it's Lunchtime Radio.
That's right.
People be down to listen to people talk during the lunch hour, season, people say.
We should have asked what some of the listeners are eating for lunch. I mean, we know that Doom was having some yard bird, but like Phil, though, he was listening. But Phil could be on the clock and just listening by chance. So
eating a ham sandwich.
Eating a ham sandwich. At least it would be a real ham sandwich. Now, Phil doesn't skimp out when it comes to the products that go in between his bread. So, not like some people. You know. I mean, I see Phil putting. I don't know. I see Phil doing ham and cheese one day. I see him doing a good amount of turkey with some mayo. But I see Phil, now that I saw him in person and I got to break bread with him in person and had a good time. It was a 4-hour dinner, you know, between everything. I see Phil, for some reason, taking a bologna sandwich to work. I don't know why.
I'm pulling back.
With the red ring around the bologna, and I don't know why I see Phil doing that with a little bit of mustard on some white bread. There's nothing wrong with a bologna sandwich. I just see Phil eating that though, a bologna sandwich, and of course he takes the red wax outside, you know, away from the bologna. So yeah, if he's listening, I'm sure he'll chime in after the fact, but. But yeah, I see him doing 3 slices of bologna, mustard on, there we go. Phil says he loves bologna. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you. I just see you eating bologna. That's all. You know? Now, does Phil go and get fresh bologna, or does Phil go and just get Oscar Mayer stuff, the stuff that the prepackaged stuff? You know, that's it doesn't really make a difference to me. I haven't had bologna in a long time. And there's nothing wrong with bologna. We know that Surfer won't eat bologna unless it's beef bologna. But even then, I think Surfer might think bologna is beneath him. Which, if he thinks bologna is beneath him, we're gonna have a very entertaining conversation if we find out that that's the case. Because if bologna is beneath him,
it is.
How could it possibly be beneath him?
Because he's Surfer, man.
Phil gets fresh boar's head sliced bologna. So, there you go. Maybe he changes it up, because I know boar's head has the bologna, and then they have the garlic bologna. I see Phil getting a little bit of both. The regular and the garlic bologna. But yeah, that's what I see Phil doing. Three slices of bologna, one slice of cheese, mustard on both sides of the bread, probably cut in half diagonally, you know, because I think, you know, because if you want to be cool, you have to do it diagonally. If you want to be an unpopular person, you cut it vertically. You know, it's uncouth to eat your sandwich with a vertical cut. You eat it with a diagonal cut.
Anyways. You got to cut the edges off.
So there he goes. So you cut, again, I'm not going to get into this again because I know we talked about cutting the crust off. He puts mayo instead of mustard. And he has no problem with the Oscar Mayer bologna. He just prefers the fresh bolognas. So.
Yeah, because he's highfalutin. That's what highfalutin people.
Oh yeah, I see. Well, in New York, there's boar's head everywhere.
Highfalutin.
So
make sure you cut that crust off, man. You're good to go.
But okay, so he prefers mayo, slice of cheese.
Less is toast. Less is toast. Toasted bread. I don't like. If I go to Waffle House and I get like a sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich, I'll eat the crust. But if it's a regular sandwich, you gotta rip that crust off.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand that being.
Crust is nasty.
A man in your 30s. So let me ask you something, Tony. See, I bake a bread in front of you. I do all the kneading and mixing and everything, and I bake it in front of you, take it hot out of the oven, and I slice you a fresh piece of white bread. You still won't eat the crust.
I have the middle. I want the middle.
Then, okay, let me ask you this. Okay, forget that it's white bread. What if I bake a roll? Will you eat a roll in its entirety? Because a roll...
I've never had a roll.
You've never had a roll...
I don't really eat rolls.
Like a dinner roll? Or a baguette?
No, no Hawaiian rolls, no.
Oh my God.
I eat sandwich bread, man.
So you don't go and you don't eat any other type of bread at all?
Nope. Hell no. Give me some bread. Sesame seed bun.
Okay, let's go back to the sesame seed bun. A sesame seed bun, ultimately, is a round slice of bread with crust all over. But you don't have any problems eating that.
No. It's just on white bread. I can't, eat regular white bread crust. It's nasty.
God.
Unless it's toasted. Now, if you toast it like they do at a Waffle House.
But we're not talking about cucumbers versus pickles. The taste doesn't change between toasted and untoasted.
A piece of crust that's not toasted don't taste right.
Do you eat your pizza crust?
To me. Yes, I eat my pizza crust. Unless I start getting full, then
I don't understand that.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, that's very weird.
People think I'm weird.
Well, you know, I've heard worse. I'm not going to chastise you too much about the crust thing. I've heard a lot worse.
Used to not eat a spreadable chicken.
Especially on this air. Which, by the way, we replayed that episode during our off time.
Yes, we did.
And we ran a marathon of five episodes of shows that have not aired in the last 5 or 6 years. Some doozies. And I was getting messages from Lee and Tony C during that whole time saying that who was it? Was it you or Lee that said that you don't want to speak ill of the dead, but Problem Child was a womanizer or something like that, or chauvinist.
Sexist pig.
That's what it was. Yeah, he was a colorful person, you know.
Very sexist pig.
Anyways, all right, folks. We thank you for tuning in and listening to us on this Thursday afternoon. I'm gonna go and put some meat in the pressure cooker. I'm making some baka frita, Phil. That stuff I told you about. Because Phil, Phil, he goes, I wanted to take you to an Italian place. Near your hotel, so you're not schlepping all over New York City. So I could take you to a Cuban place, but I don't want to insult you. Thank you, Phil. Because, we've got Cuban food down here. And by the way, we talked about another thing, because Phil told his Miami sub story at this dinner. Okay?
Got a little Miami sub.
Which I still don't get it, but okay. So Phil told the story about how he went to Miami Subs walking, and he crossed the street without using the crosswalk, and he got pulled over by the cop for jaywalking, because in New York, there's no such thing as jaywalking in New York, exactly. So he got pulled over for jaywalking, but he didn't get, they didn't give him they just gave him a warning and let him on his way. But he was walking to Miami Subs to get some food. But then I was like, who was it that told me that they can't get enough of Pollo Tropical? And I thought it was him. But it must have been you that said that you can't get enough of Pollo Tropical.
Yeah, they good.
See, I don't get it.
They got a nice Sriracha salt dip.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I don't get it. I don't know, but whatever. So I'm going to make...
I might go see them tomorrow.
I have to be desperate to eat either Miami Subs or Pollo Tropical. Or I just am really... I'm in the mood for something very different. Because I've had enough Pollo Tropical in my lifetime to say... if I don't eat it again, I'm not going to miss it. But anyways. So with that said, I want to thank everybody in the chat room, everybody listening live. You can download this show, listen to the replay, which will probably be up in the next 20 minutes or so. We'll replay this show in its entirety, and then, of course, it'll be available for download as well. Thank you again for supporting the network and supporting the shows, especially during this unique time. And we'll be here next week. I don't know what day, but stay tuned to social media, and we'll let everybody know what day we'll be on the air. Next week, probably around the same time, with another lunchtime edition of The Rant. So for Dr. Doom, for Tony C, I'm Double A. Have a good day, everybody.